Hey, Redline Radio listeners, you can find us every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Chicago sports fans. This is Barstool Carl.
And Dave.
Chief.
Eddie.
And this is Redline Radio, an all-gas, no-break Chicago sports podcast brought to you by our good friends at Miller Lite and your trusted friends at Barstool Chicago. We have the number one pick.
Number one pick, once again, I think the vibes are still high.
Why would you not be?
The only thing I'm starting to get a little sour on is like people saying they should draft a quarterback and trade Justin Fields.
The buzz since we recorded instantly after that podcast has been kind of insane, right? People saying like we're kind of losers for celebrating and losers for saying that we're in a great spot because we're quite literally the worst team in the National Football League. But
only if you look at the record.
Yeah, fuck that.
You're only the worst team if you pay attention to the record. If you watch the games, they're fine. I am happy about that. And like, it's the last week of the year. We know that we're not celebrating being the worst team. We're celebrating like adding pieces to the puzzle. It's like a different vibe than I feel like it normally would be. I did get one thing like very wrong on that last show where it was like, when was the last time a team had the number one pick and felt good about their quarterback? It was literally the last year. With Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville.
I messed that one up too. Oh, yeah. I couldn't remember that one.
Yeah, it was like, you know, 10
That's why
ago.
Danny Lance is our stat checker, like Reale and around the horn.
Danny Lance, he was blinding us last episode. He was not worrying about that. But it's all right, Danny. That's why we love you. Listen, but I think a lot of it could be, I don't know, like this is people's jobs. Like they got to have takes. Like I saw Mike Tannenbaum. He said the same thing. He's like, they should be looking at a quarterback. I saw Ryan Clark. He said Bears should be throwing out smokescreens, saying they're looking at a quarterback to try to get people to entice to make a trade for this
number
one pick. Polls
will 100%. I don't know if Young or what's-his-face planned going to the combine, but he'd be dumb not to be checking him out
well, he
for
said that,
that reason.
He said that in the press conference, too. Yeah. They had the end-of-the-year press conference that someone would have to blow him away. Which at first I was like, kind of a weird response.
Mean?
But I think that's exactly what that response was. Like, there's no way he's going to draft a quarterback.
I'll go 96%.
I think that's a good percentage.
What if Bryce Young does, you know, I'm assuming he's not going to run or do the bench press. Not that I give a shit about that anyways. But
yeah, I think maybe high. I think that four is even high, but still.
It's chances are slim to none. You don't need to put a number on it, but it's – if Bryce Young looks like he's going to be, you know, Patrick Mahomes.
If they do trade him, I think it says a lot more about what we don't know. So say we go down this 4%, then there's stuff it's there'd have to – because based on what we know and only what we know, Justin Fields is a fucking man.
It's a good point. So it's a very good point, Carl.
If they do trade him then?
It's a very good point.
Quarterback, Bryce Young. Who's a better quarterback? Does anybody care who the better quarterback is? We just need –
between those two?
I promise I will flip shit if they trade.
And don't get Jalen?
Well, no. If they were like, Justin Fields is not the guy, but Will Levis is. No. I will throw a temper tantrum if that happens. Because I think that guy sucks. But Kuiper has him, or at least did have him maybe 3 weeks ago, as his number one quarterback. And you can't do that. Don't
we gotta
do
get
that.
Kuiper on the show. Mel Kuiper. That has to be like.
Has he been on PMT?
At the very least, Kuiper. I know, but Kuiper with Dave or Kuiper in this room would be great.
It'd be funny.
Dude, any of those guys with Dave, he stinks. Well, here's, you know, like a PFF guy. I think that would be the he stinks analysis
versus.
Well,
his EPA adjusted passer rating on third down is elite. It's like, well.
One of the best jobs in sports. One of the best jobs in sports is to be the instant reaction NFL draft guy.
Is it?
Yes. Throw a grade out.
You think that's a better job than Schefter or Rappaport?
3 fucking days a year, bro.
Just being the first guy?
Dude, Rapp can't put his phone down. I can't believe I just called him Rapp. Schefter hasn't gone to sleep peacefully in a fucking decade.
How many phones does Schefter have? Doesn't he have like four?
It's a tougher job than you think.
Being the draft guy?
Inside?
No, yeah, being
Schefter. I'll go on record and say I think an inside scoops job is the hardest job in all of sports.
And you do have to carry people's water.
And no one, no one values you for you. Like, you're not making anything that people are like, oh, I'm interested. They're just waiting for you to say what you've heard.
Do you think it's impossible for those people to create personas?
You have to get so, like, how big has Woj gotten? And now it's like Woj Bomb. He's branded himself as the, he had to be the biggest and do it for so long. And now it's like, oh, it's a Woj
But I don't
bomb.
Think I could tell you what his voice sounds like.
Huh?
Could you?
Fucked up, right?
Yeah.
One of the most followed guys in sports.
Sure.
I'm not a big NBA guy, so I think that's part of it. But like, I know what Schefter sounds like. I know what Rapport sounds like. But Woj, Rosenthal. Like, I know the Woj bombs. But I'm like, I don't, like, if he called in right now, I would be like, oh, okay. That's, I guess that's him.
Adrian Wojnarowski or whatever.
Yeah. Wojnar.
Wojnarowski.
Wojnarowski. Anyways, this is a tangent off of the Mel Kiper comment. I apologize for this tangent, but it's on top of head.
I mean, that's the beauty of having the number one pick, though, is you have – every single draftable prospect to choose from, and they'd be dumb not to look at. I mean, it's not gonna cause or cost any extra resources, especially if Bryce Young does perform at the combine or Levis or whoever else. I mean, you're gonna be there anyways looking at players. So if you see him and you're like, holy shit, that's a generational quarterback, like Peyton Manning type deal, then fine.
But
you got to put your trust in him at that point. But what could you even get for Fields in?
We would know already if Peyton Manning was in this draft. You're not going to find that out between now and April. Like, you know when it's Peyton Manning, it's Andrew Luck, it's even at Cam Newton. Like, you know when it's like the clear-cut number one guy.
It sounds like Young's becoming that.
Dude, he's 5'9". Like, he's understand. Not Peyton Manning.
I understand. I'm saying, I mean, you know what I'm getting at, though, is the chance that – is Bryce Young one of those guys? Probably not. There's a non-zero chance that he is one of those guys, and if you see that, then bombs away. But, what could you realistically get for Justin Fields, though?
I've seen people be like, you could trade him to Carolina for the 9. And then you take quarterback one, and you have the 9th pick, something like that.
No, that's just stupid conversation.
I agree.
This is
such a stupid conversation, and that he would fetch more than that. I mean, the guy just fucking broke rushing records. Like, what are we? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? People suggesting we should trade him? Go get fucked. It's just a crazy, ludicrous, absolutely insane notion that we would get rid of Justin Fields. I'm out on that. It's talking points. It's fodder. It's going to happen. Bears fans should avoid that noise. There's no reason to do it. That's it.
I don't know that there's not, though. I don't know that there's not. That's not Poles' guy. We did just watch. I know, granted, he was running for his life. He did just go 7 for 21 in a game.
Dude, unless if there's something we don't know, like Carl said.
Well, there's a
no
ton
reason.
That we don't know.
Yeah, but unless if there's like glaring things and there's nothing been leaked, which I feel like shit would be leaked if that was the case.
Yep.
Which all that's been leaked has been good stuff.
If you trade.
Though you say that, Ed, it's perfect opportunity to zag.
Yeah. If you trade Fields and to draft a quarterback and that guy's not the guy,
to get fired.
You never work again.
Never.
Because Fields has proven that he can take an offense down the field, and the upside is there. We've talked about the lack of line, lack of weapons, and all that. If you make that move, be like, well, I'm just not totally sure, but I like Bryce Young better, and then you're in the same boat or worse with Bryce Young or Stroud or whoever you think is the best, you are never working again.
This is honestly so stupid.
I know.
I might have to step down as a fan if we did this.
Yeah, right.
I can't believe you would suggest this, Dave.
I'm not suggesting.
I know, but I can't.
You're leaving
believe,
the
like,
door open for yeah, it. I'd like to like, slam.
Well, no, you said before we started recording you wanted this to happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
When the fuck have we been in a position to have the glass this much full after year two with a quarterback?
That's why I think we should draft a quarterback one overall. So now we have two because.
So to make it, instead of half full, you make it full.
Just in case something bad.
run a pioneer two quarterback system.
I know that's such a preposterous thing. We don't want to acknowledge preposterous statements like that right now, but I'm going to say it again.
And like, listen, after the Commanders game, go back to that episode. I was fucking having horny thoughts for Bryce Young. That was after the Commanders game. That was after the Tennessee game. It was like the stars aligned. I was having horny, horny, horny thoughts for Bryce Young. And then Monday night game against the New England Patriots comes, and then Justin Fields just absolutely took off like a rocket.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, like Poles said, I agree. Like, he's got to throw the ball better, and Ryan Poles has to do a better fucking job of putting an offensive line around him, putting better wide receivers around him. And hey, Ryan, you're up, dude. You're up at the plate. It's fucking time. So let's do it. Stop worrying about this bullshit. And Justin Fields is our guy.
Oh man, that like it's career suicide or you build a statue. There's no in between.
Yeah, I also feel like that. Did you guys see the quote from Ballard?
Yeah, I did. He would do whatever it takes.
Yes,
I'd do whatever it takes. So the Colts have been in quarterback hell since the Andrew Luck thing. They've had a different starting quarterback for week one each of the last 5 years. That is a guy where you can say, like, they're sitting five, I believe, right? Four or five? Is it four or five? They're four.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you get, like, their second round, I would probably do it for that because then you still get the defensive player, a great defensive player, and they get their quarterback. That, to me, I feel like that's the move that's going to happen. The Colts will move up. There will be two quarterbacks taken, and the Bears have their choice of or they get – either Carter or Anderson at four, and let's just call it a day.
Depends. We'll see because, you know, Houston, Arizona are ahead of them. Houston's going to take a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. What's the communication going to be like that? If they want the opposite guy and Arizona's got Kyler, so they're set.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously someone could leapfrog us and just – the Colts are in a weird spot. They're in a very weird spot where they can negotiate with. So, but we're the team that they could just say, fuck all that.
Right.
We are going to. And that's where it's, like I said, that's why the number one pick matters, because you come see us if you want to be dead set and not have to worry about rolling the dice.
Exactly.
So.
It's a fun time, man.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I just, happy for Roquan, too. He got fucking paid.
The highest paid off-ball linebacker in history?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
$100
million. $64 million, I want to say that's guaranteed. So, good for him.
So, we could have kept Roquan and still had $25 more in cap space. Anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, we got $120 million, and we have the number one overall pick. So, we got...
But is it... So Roquan's like $20 million cap hit, right?
Yeah.
So they'd say the Bears are going in next year with what, 110?
Yeah.
And he's like 110 or 90 with Roquan. Would you ever rather have 90 with Roquan or 110?
I think 120 from what I saw.
Yeah, 120.
And NFL cap is like.
You need an MIT degree.
And you could like shuffle shit around. Yeah. It makes no sense.
Deferred money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although credit to the lawyers that game the system, because if you have watched, like watch a 5-minute YouTube video on the NFL salary cap and your mind's going to explode. The next one's what, $65 million? 60. Not that I give a fuck who number two,
I remember reading, and this was probably back in November, that they were projected to have double the second team or the team with the second most cap space. So they're in a great spot.
Which I believe is Atlanta, and it's like $64 million or something.
That's another team that should be calling the Bears.
Start the bidding right now.
There's a ton of teams that should call them. Yeah. I mean, look at it. All right, Houston's two. They need a quarterback. Indianapolis, four. They need a quarterback. Seattle has a decision to make with Geno. He's fucking 33.
Are
you going to buy into that totally? He's had a great season. They made the playoffs. I think Detroit should keep Goff.
They probably should.
Las Vegas needs a quarterback. Atlanta needs a quarterback. Carolina needs a quarterback. There's a lot of these
things. A ton.
13.
Arizona's going to look for a quarterback when the new coach gets a quarterback.
Yeah, I don't – but, like, how far do you want to go back? Do you want to go back 12 spots in this draft?
Fuck, if the Jets will give us fucking their first rounder next year as well, sure.
Oh, that's happening regardless, I think, Ed. They're getting at least two first round. They're going to get this year's.
I don't know.
I have no idea how to project.
You have to look at past precedent.
It's one of those things where it's like when you get into that spot, like we've talked about in the last show, like the Aaron Donald thing, where you go all the way to 13 or 4, you know, like back that far in the draft. All of a sudden, you're going from a guy that, like, hey, we expect this guy to come in and start on day one and be an impact guy on day one. You get down in that area, it's like you're rolling the dice a little bit on how impactful your first round pick's going to be. That's why I was kind of – I more narrowly focused on, like, the teams at the very top, like the Colts.
That's – yeah. I understand.
But there are a lot of teams that need a lot of quarterbacks, so.
There are. But it comes down to, like, how good do you think these prospects are as well? Which GM is going to fall in love? It's not a luck RG3
right,
draft.
Right. Yeah. But it's going to be interesting because I'm not really sold on any of those quarterbacks.
I'm not either. Personally, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, though. But especially once the Super Bowl is done with, you start the NFL releases the schedule, then you start looking forward to the combine, then the draft. And you always hear every single year without fail that X team has fallen in love with Y player. And with the first overall pick, I think they're going to get a king's ransom for one of these guys.
I don't think as much as you think, Dave.
Yeah.
I don't.
They're going to get two firsts.
I don't. Unless if there's two teams bidding against each other, you need two or three teams.
We just went through it, Ed. The Texans.
But you still need these teams to fall in love with those guys. They could also buy time and they could like a guy next year, Dave. Like,
yeah.
Teams can wait.
That's fair.
Like, there's bad court. Look at last year. There wasn't like an A-plus guy. There was Pickett. Pickett looks pretty good. But like, it's what, you know, there are years where it's like, hey, we'll just wait a year. We'll get a quarterback next year. Like, they could do that as well, Dave. Like, that's an option.
I mean, and I think you're going to have some GMs saying that because it's like,
can't Caleb Williams come out next year?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, Caleb Williams and somebody else too, where it's just like, all right, well then we're not convinced that these guys are the guy. We'll just wait a year.
Yeah.
And we'll just add it to our team elsewhere. So, something to think about. You want a little positive nugget?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Pro Football Focus all rookie team. Braxton Jones made it.
Played every snap.
Jack Sanborn made it. Jaquan Brisker made it.
Good.
So what that means, I don't know, but those are three guys that you would expect to be on the 53 next year. Maybe not necessarily all starting or even all at their same position, but you know, to come out of a rookie class with three guys that you can plug in, I think that's a pretty good hit rate.
Very interesting decision to make, I think, with Braxton Jones. I think so, right?
What's the decision?
Extend him long term?
No. I mean, he's a rookie, you know, but I think he's durability is, it says something, but like, I don't think he was necessarily fantastic and you need to rebuild the offensive line. So how comfortable are you going into next year with like, hey, at least, you know, you could count on him. Like
he got that worst.
Yeah, he stayed healthy, but it's like, okay, like where do you stand? You need to really do a lot to the offensive line. So it's like, all right, you're going to come in next year and be like, all right, we're going to keep him. I mean, I thought Tevin Jenkins had a good year, but obviously I don't know what's going
on with
his neck issues.
Yeah.
I thought Whitehair kind of regressed a little bit.
Yeah.
You need a center. You need a right tackle. But I don't think if you get a center and right tackle, you're necessarily in a much, much, much better spot. So it's like, I don't know. I'm going to be very interested to see how he rebuilds his offensive line. But I feel good that he's a former offensive lineman because that's his specialty. So, and that's not – I'm happy. I don't want to take anything away from the guy. That's good. He played every offensive snap. As a fifth rounder, that's respect. So I'm hoping like he – improves every year to the point where like, hey, fuck yeah, that's our guy at left tackle.
Maybe he's this generation's Charles Leno.
Yeah, and Leno was he was, for being a seventh rounder, he was okay.
Yeah.
He was okay.
Not everybody is going to be in the Pro Bowl, so.
Yeah, he was okay.
I can't remember where I heard this. It might have been just us talking on this show, actually, but it was, you need to have like a full year in an NFL weight room, especially as an offensive lineman, to have like a real NFL body, and it's like, so when you're looking at a guy who is competitive enough to play every snap, that you really think that in year two, for especially for linemen, but for every position, being in that strength program starting like right away, like which I guess that starts in like May, that really does impact guys more than anything else.
I think you can. So he's a great building block. Don't get me wrong.
Totally.
He's a great building block. I just it's a big next year for him. So we'll see.
I am looking at free agents after this year. Orlando Brown Jr.
Chiefs, right?
Chiefs. Yeah. Would he interest anybody?
Yeah, those
I believe he was tagged last year, so you can't get tagged twice anymore, correct? Or can you?
I think you can.
You can?
But yeah, the second year you have to be like top five in the league, not top five.
Something like that, right? Yeah. There's weird rules. I mean, there's one. You got Rodney. Well, he's old as fuck. You got George Fant.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of.
I mean, and that could change. I think it's a little early to look at the class just because guys could just sign. They could just resign.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
too, yeah.
Like, he might just not be available. And then we already saw that with, I think it was the Jaguars had that tackle. It was Conklin. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. But, like, we've already seen, projections of guys who are supposed to be available have resigned. So it's kind of a fool's errand to be going hardcore down those lists.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I also want to bring up Chase Claypool as well, because that's like obviously the hottest talking point when it comes to the Bears. It's like you can't talk about the number one pick without someone instantly jumping into like, oh, what about 32? Chase Claypool. And Poles is like, hey, I still stick with it. I stand with the pick, with the trade. What else is he going to say, eh?
Right.
And
I do think it's early to be like, that was complete bust.
Well, I just said, point
he
is.
He has what, like five catches?
Well, he played seven games. My point is, right, seven games it was, Lance, I believe he was with the team. I don't know. I think it's seven games,
and he had like 17.
Came in at the deadline.
Whatever it was. It was not a productive however much time he was with us. But the team was in the midst of a tank. We weren't looking to win, and the offense just wasn't productive regardless. And I think it's right now is the time to get mad at that, right? Because we're looking at picks. We're all excited about picks. And you see 32, mm-hmm. which with the Dolphins having their pick taken away.
It's really forfeit. It's the second first.
It's really the last first, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is easy to get mad at now. But we just, I don't know, you just got to hold strong and be like, hey, just think about, it's hard to think about 2023 fall. But like,
yeah,
you got to do that with Claypool right now. And it's
definitely. And I want Poles to be successful. And Claypool is a Notre Dame guy. And I was on board with that trade. And I want to be right. Part of the reason why I want to trade with the Colts is that I want to pick up their second round pick. So even though the Bears would have been picking 33 or 32, whatever, now they can pick. If they have the Colts 4 and then 36, then no one really cares as much. You're still going to get the guy that you wanted anyway.
That's a way to look at it.
So yeah. That's my spin. That's why I'm hoping for a trade with the Colts. Get their 1-2, and let's pretend that never happened.
But yeah, that's Bears. I mean, mm-hmm. talking fucking.
I think we do got to address David Montgomery a little bit.
What about it? I mean, he said that they like him. They like the way he plays. So we'll see. I don't know. Running backs is a weird.
It's so weird because Monty is so good, man. Is he a complete total game changer? No, but. Oh, man, I've developed the ability to root for the number instead of the player and not develop emotional attachments to the players on the teams I root for. But it's hard not to with Monty because he's just – I love a good bell cow, and that's what he is. But he was a third rounder. They want to draft another running back with a similar skill set. They could find another one. So I hope he gets paid, though. Same in the same vein as it won't be $100 million, obviously, but get paid just like Roe did, just probably not with the Bears. Right?
Or maybe.
It might
or
maybe. Be.
Yeah.
Or maybe. I mean, dude, yeah. The free agent, like we talk about the free agent market, the free agent for a lot of positions is not great. I'm pretty sure it's really fucking good for running backs.
Is it?
Yeah. You got
Josh Jacobs is a free agent. Yeah.
Pollard.
Pollard from Dallas. Yeah.
He's fucking good, man. If they're going to pay a running back, he's probably a little better than Monty.
Who?
How good is
Pollard's
he?
Because good, man.
He's in that system.
Yeah, that's true, too.
He's great fucking right. Yeah. Line.
There's the...
It's all about beating up. Like, that's just how the
Saquon's
Cowboys are.
Saquon's a free agent. Yeah, Saquon, Jacobs, Pollard, this Miles Sanders...
It's loaded.
I mean, Monty's. I take Monty over Devin Singletary, but like, yeah. You know, those other guys, Pollard, Jacobs, and Saquon, that's that's a good trio. But we like Monty, though. Like you said, we're big Monty guys. But also, Khalil Herbert has proven himself as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like you, I think they're going to be able to find a middle ground and be able to get a decent deal. There's a lot of cap space. They could find something that makes him happy and that's like fair mm-hmm. for the future. Like, I think there's a way to work that out. I do.
Yeah. That's the other thing. We talked about this on the dates on the last show too. But it's free agency is before the draft. So we're going to know what the Bears' plans are and what they think about their roster depending on who they bring back and who they bring in. So it's like if they sign Monty, you can pretty much cross running back off the list of things that they're going to draft in the first 3-4 rounds. And so it'll be something to watch out for, because I think the running back draft class is kind of decent. Like, there's a lot of depth in the draft class as well. So we'll see how it plays out. This is the first chance we really have to evaluate Poles and mm-hmm. and see what kind of team he wants to build, because last year was all teardown mode, and this year it's going to be all right. Now pull it out of the garage time.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously evaluate last year's class. You know,
was pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How to switch gears for a second? How long did you guys last in the Monday night college game?
Halftime.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. You did it.
Georgia parlayed with the under.
Did you? I tapped out after the third quarter.
And Georgia just keeps throwing. 52-7.
Yeah.
7 minutes left. They bring in the backup. I'm like, okay, well, they'll just run it out here. Blowout city. You're not going to get any of this parody. How about this? Did you hear Kirby Smart's pregame speech?
No.
Oh, come on. It was viral. It was,
I seen the clip, and I started it, and I was like, I don't know.
It was 1 minute long, and it was complete opposite. It's probably what you would expect.
It was like a black screen of like an audio clip, yeah, right?
It's what you would expect from an SEC coach, but like,
yeah,
even just looking at Kirby Smart and his visor.
I love him. I want to play for him.
Yeah. And so it's like that for another 30 seconds or so. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, pay the fucking price. You guys are my guys. Like, we're ready.
Yeah.
And I feel like when we get access or when you see stuff in the locker room beforehand, I've always been disappointed with pregame speeches. I shouldn't say always, but like 9 out of 10 pregame speeches are more stoic. Yeah, guys that are like,
well, Lovey's the most stoic human.
I'm not saying just
time.
Lovey.
Yeah.
I'm saying just the general concept of like once you get to the pro level or once you get to a very high level, the locker room speeches, like that's high school stuff to me. That's like eighth grade. Like, run out there, you're gonna kill them. But then once you get to a high level, the coaches are like, you guys are prepared for this. Go do your job.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I feel like it's just like a personality thing. I remember listening to Troy Aikman talk about it. He goes, you know, game day always feels like game day. He's like, it's felt like it, like my NFL Sundays feel no different than my eighth grade games. When I was like,
it's different for football than any other sport because it's once a week.
So I feel like the coaches are probably the same. You know, if like, I bet you if Kirby Smart was coaching the NFL or if he was coaching like midget football, he's given a very similar speech. And I actually did hear that. And yeah, like I love it. Like, that's what you want. You can just kind of, you know, you can. You're right. The visor makes a difference. And I also, like, he has that little Belichick spin. I saw another clip where he was like, nobody respects us. I'm like, dude, you've been number one team all year. You're defending national champion. Like, you, like, everybody expects you to win this game. Everybody expects you to be here. Like, that seems like a thing where, like, Belichick would always, and like Rodney Harrison, I remember those famous clips, like, no one thought we could do it. Like, you were a 14-point favorite. Like literally everyone thought you were going to win that game going away.
Oh, the Georgia players that the one kid said in a post game, like, nobody thought. People said we go 7-5, or
it's like, bro,
people didn't pick us to go to a bowl game.
Okay, now do you buy into players being overhyped? Have you ever heard that? We were too jacked up.
Yeah, well, that's what you feel like. You see it when like they're doing undisciplined things.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like late hits out of bounds and.
yeah,
over pursuit and shit.
Yeah, it's sports specific too. Like a basketball coach pregame, maybe a little bit more like toughness, intensity, pick each other up. You know,
it's an interesting perspective. Like at what point the guys need to be motivated, but it's like the same thing. How like those coaches at some point, like we expect you to show up in shape, but these are still
they're human.
They're still kids.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
They are kids, just the amount of money.
Right. That makes
like
a
multi-billion dollar event or a multi-billion dollar tournament.
Yeah.
And it's coming down to.
Hockey is on. And no matter the city, no matter the team, no matter the game, whether it's face-off or penalty shots, regular season or playoffs, win or lose, no matter what happens, no matter where it happens, New Amsterdam Vodka is there.
Dude, what do you think of Brock Bowers? Is pretty fucking good, huh? I mean, I know he's obviously the top tight end. He won the best tight end in the National Football. But, like, I was always like, I know how awesome he is, but I was always like, I think Mayer's still better.
Nah.
I don't know. He's pretty good.
I think Bowers, and it's hard for me to say that, but.
That's why I say that, because I was always like, I know he's good, but I think Mayer's better. But he's.
They use him differently, and I guess, like, we'll see over time, but Mayer in the passing game for the vast majority of his career, he's kind of the only guy. You know, so he and he's a great blocker too. I can't speak to Bowers as a blocker as much, but it'll be interesting to see how that. But yeah, Bowers is just like it seems like he's just a little bit bigger. He might be like a tick faster.
Dude, he's definitely bigger. I think he so looks bigger. Big. Yeah.
Something Bowers? About that, like that number he wears too, where it's like
19.
Yeah, like that's not like a tight end. Like he just makes him look fucking huge. He's awesome. They have so many guys where it's like
he's only listed at 6'4". He seems like he's
that's
just
what I mean. It's his number. It's an optical illusion.
Yeah.
And Mayer is, I think, a legit 6'5".
Yeah, he was a monster of a human.
Shook my hand. His fingers went up to like my elbow.
The only thing that scared me about meeting him was he was so nice. I don't know if I like that.
He's not like a nice boy on the field.
Right? I understand you can flip switches.
I wish he was coming back now. Notre Dame finally has a quarterback.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah,
we'll round you like McConkey,
dude. Hey,
dude.
Hey.
I like.
Listen. Is he coming out?
Lad?
Is he?
I think he's like a redshirt sophomore.
Okay. How tall is McConkey?
McConkey, probably 6'2". He's a highly regarded high school player, but he wasn't.
He is a
nationally
sophomore.
Renowned,
yeah.
But locally within Georgia, I believe he was like a big high school deal and like, maybe have some legacy ties to Georgia where it was like, oh, his uncle or something.
Like Hunter Renfro has been banged up, I think, this year and last year a little bit, but awesome. He has established himself as like a solid NFL player.
A lot of people say he's the best route runner in football.
I've seen that too. Yeah. Like he's a very good route runner. So I don't know. We'll interested to see where if I don't know I haven't he's seen only, a big board or anything
he's McConkey. Only a sophomore, so he's got at least another year at Georgia.
Does this support an argument for more teams in a college football playoff?
Well, it depends what your goals are. What do you think?
I don't think
I think Michigan plays Georgia way tougher than TCU. Like how do you avoid a near 9 touchdown?
Here's
9 touchdowns.
I think this might be a better question because you could have that argument forever. Who feels worse, Michigan or Ohio State?
Ohio State. I think Ohio
because
State.
You think they just walked to another national championship.
Yeah,
they would have. They absolutely. They would have fucking killed them.
But like Michigan, that's.
So you just think Michigan played TCU on the wrong day?
But it's.
Well, I think Michigan
does a lot of it.
How did Michigan give up 50 fucking points?
I have no idea. They were
it's unforgivable all the time you had to prepare.
Yeah. And like you don't want to completely disrespect TCU. Like they had a great season.
Yeah, but then it's like they lost to fucking Kansas State like 2 weeks before.
You know, I watched that game and I was not very impressed with them.
We watched the end of it. I was with you. We stopped at Pub 2 on our way to do the hunting. So we didn't really watch the full game. We watched, like, the comeback.
Hey, Chief, that's all this man needs.
I watched them. I thought that was because they played on Thanksgiving. Nope. I want to say too. I was at a family party and they were on TV and I watched them.
Well, that's a different game. I'm talking about the Big 12 championship where they lost to Kansas State. I thought
that was the Big 12. Whatever. Yeah. But they snuck by a win in that game, and I was not impressed. I forget who they were playing then, but
they had a lot of games like that where they were kind of like the comeback kids. Kind of, they had a lot of dramatic finishes this year for TCU. But yeah, like I think to answer Carl's original question, if you want, because they only have three playoff games the way it is now. If you want to have more action and more competitive games, you're always going to have some blowouts. There's blowouts every single year, which is why I get triggered as a Notre Dame guy, because we're like, oh, Notre Dame should never be allowed in. Well, it's like, we're going to say the same thing about TCU. You're going to say the same thing about Michigan. Like, there are teams that get blown out in the semifinals and the finals basically every single time. So if you want to have a more fun, like, final tournament and more, like, increase your odds of having, like, these unbelievable moments, then you just got to expand it, which they're doing anyways, and you'll make a ton of money and everybody gets rich.
I'm for expansion at this point because it, like, players will play, and we just need more players to play.
Like, that's,
you know, yes. And if you have a chance, they will play because mm-hmm. it's a playoff rather than in a bowl game. That
who are the handful of teams on the outside? Alabama,
Tennessee. Who else on the outside?
I mean, you can argue Kansas State.
Yes.
Is it going to 8 or 12?
I think it's 12. I thought it was.
Because I don't think a bye is going to solve any of these problems. I think where you can solve the problem is if you go to 16 or you go to 8 and you make everybody play. So if you make 8 teams and you're like, all right, you have to play 3 weeks in a row, I think then the challenge is for a team to get prepared for that third week. Like TCU is at such a disadvantage to then, okay, now you have to go prep against Georgia. Like if they just showed up one day without preparing, Georgia obviously beat them by like 1,000. They're just that much more talented and the amount of prep that goes into it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's like adding another round and making a team like Georgia this year play 3 weeks, is that championship game inherently going to be more competitive because it's taking you longer to get there?
Yeah.
You can't have blowouts. My point is the blowout is so bad. It's so bad for the sport.
But, Carl, blowouts happen.
It happens every year.
It's happened. I can think of like one Super Bowl where you were like, this isn't fucking close.
What, the Seattle, Denver?
Within the last 10 years, yeah.
Seattle, Denver.
Well, where you just like turn it off.
Yeah, but like,
the Rams one sucked.
When we grew Clemson up,
was bad.
Yeah.
However, growing up,
it was all blowouts in the Super Bowl.
Look at that Clemson-Bama one. What was that? Our year one on the job, like that was 2019. Mm-hmm. That was fucking disgusting. Clemson blew Bama's doors off. I think that was Trevor Lawrence one.
Was that Lawrence?
Or no, the people who argue against college football, Lawrence they one. Argue because of blowouts and say it's not important. It's not.
Yeah, you're right.
There's Lawrence. No parity. Yeah. Like, who gives a fuck? You follow a college football season the entire year, you get to the championship game, 1-2, and it's fucking over in 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't know.
It's going to be like that regardless if it's three teams or four teams and
TCU belonged to be there, and not only did they belong to be there, they beat a team to get to the national championship.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They beat Michigan.
Like yeah.
Michigan
and then lose by almost 9 touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It sucked as a viewer. But it's like, all right, like I said, we watched two fucking powerhouse programs at Clemson and Bama. We watched a blowout just five years ago.
Just as easily, yeah.
Because when you get the those Vince Young games.
Oh, it's electric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's forever.
Yeah. The fucking Watson versus who was Bama's quarterback at that time?
Who was that number 6, right? That
it was either Tua or Jalen Hurts, right?
McCarron.
I don't think it was
AJ.
Was it?
No, I don't know.
That was a long time ago.
Craig McElroy.
No, it wasn't McElroy.
Who's fucking still in studio calling Jets games or something. Mm-hmm. Did he start games for the Jets?
That was the 2016 National Championship.
It might have been McCarron when what's-his-face was fucking creaming his pants in the broadcaster's booth over his girlfriend.
No, that was way long ago.
Seems about 6 years ago, right?
No, it was way longer.
Was it? Time flies, Edward.
Sure does, Dave. But yeah, we'll see. Unfortunate.
Yeah, I didn't watch a single play in the second half.
Jake Coker.
Yeah.
That's a name drop.
Jake Coker.
Yep.
the forgotten Bama quarterback.
You just had to turn around and hand it to Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Not a bad gig, though.
Yeah, he was like a five-star guy. Mm-hmm. Jake Coker, big-time recruit. But, yeah, I don't know. This is a tough time of year, though. This is when it gets kind of bleak. You know, the hockey sucks here. Basketball's been eh at best. So it's like you kind of have to just try to be a college basketball fan.
Yeah.
Now in
tough.
March Madness.
Grind it out.
Hey, guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy won. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Do you have any, what's up with this Sky Clark?
He's out. It's gone.
He was a big time recruit too, wasn't he?
I got huge, man.
Can he anything you could?
No fucking way no. For you guys. No. Seriously. No offense. I'm trying to look. Nothing that would like. It's not like singing a pro. It's just not going to work. Like it just isn't. You know.
It's interesting. Though.
What year was he? Was he a freshman?
Freshman, big yeah. Recruit, 5-star.
Huge, dude. I remember when you got him. That was like a fucking massive. Was he playing well?
He got Kofi's money. No, he wasn't. And he was shooting less than like 25% against power five teams. Or he was not effective. But who's to say? Like he could transfer somewhere and be awesome. That's such a fucked up thing because basketball is very much about how you feel about yourself in that moment throughout the game and your relationship with your teammates and your coach. Like it's such a fluid sport where you can't really. It's hard to like isolate the way a football player or a baseball player can. Like basketball, you're out there, it's free flowing, you just have to feel good and like you're a part of the team. And my understanding is Sky Clark did not feel that way.
Interesting.
So
can I ask you this? Mm. And maybe my head's just in the sand, which it very well could be. Because
is it in the is it in the muff?
It could be in the muff. Because it is it at many points throughout life. But it feels like it feels like NIL is so much more talked about throughout football than basketball, right? Like, I'm just not, like, I
think it's because basketball, like, you can just leave after a year and everybody knows who the fucking dogs are. Like, football, you can become a dog later and, like,
there's a, more of a program. Like, a Stetson Bennett, he's not going to get drafted and he'll probably, probably made a fucking gazillion dollars this year in the NIL, you know? But... And I know there's the exceptions, obviously, but in basketball, like, the superstars are go on to be superstars a lot of times, I feel like. I don't know. I could be way wrong there.
The NIL, too, I feel like, for basketball, is like you're just giving those kids bags of cash. Like, football, to me, is more like, all right, now show up to the car dealership, and we're going to put you on the Jumbotron, and we're going to do a campaign for you. Basketball is just like, here's all the money. Go play basketball.
Yeah, I'm just surprised. And like I said, I could be totally oblivious. So someone please alert me. But I like Kentucky's playing very poorly right now. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we not? I'm just surprised. And I was talking to a buddy about this. Like, why are we not hearing about Cal? It's just like, you know,
well,
another bucket for a Kentucky player, another bag of cash. You know what I mean? Why is that not? I thought this would be more publicized at this point. When NIL went through, I thought this is what it was going to be.
I think it is, though. And if you look at what Kentucky recruiting is doing, remember when like Kentucky was getting all the five-star kids all the time? They're like going undefeated, losing to Wisconsin, whatever. But they're always like, always had all the best, you know, kind of one-and-done type kids. And then they started going to Duke. And everyone's like, huh, that's weird, because Duke was obviously probably paying them. And now that it's back above like, hey, you can just kind of pay these kids, Kentucky has four five-star kids coming
One thing you can't really cheat is a scholarship, because that's all very regulated by the NCAA. So it's 12 scholarships per team, I believe. Now, I could be incredibly far off here, but I do remember that when one-and-dones became much more prevalent than they were in the past, if you have an X amount of one-and-done players, then you start to lose scholarships. It's a competitive balance thing. So Kentucky might only be playing with like a 9-deep scholarship bench or something compared to the rest of basketball. I could be way off there, And again, like Ed said, alert me if I am. But it was something like that where people were predicting that there would be a bubble for Kentucky.
Just get a stat check on that.
But yeah, you could be, look that up for us, Danny Lance, when you get a shot. And
I don't even know how you would Google that.
A lot of people...
look that up,
Coach,
Danny.
Coach K didn't like one and dones. He wanted more developmental guys for a while until he's like, all right, well,
couldn't win that way.
Now I got to do it. So then, because yeah. he wouldn't take guys that were one and done for a minute.
Right. That was always his thing. And then they stopped being super competitive. So they was like, well, maybe I should just be one and done.
Yeah, then you got Jabari Parker.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was like one of those.
And him, then Okafor.
Yeah.
And then it just fucking...
Zion and everybody else.
Well, Illinois is 2-0 since I declared the season to start fresh after losing to Northwestern.
Good good declaration.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was like Underwood's up in front of the mic being like, I know we lost, and I know we need to win that game, but that's the proudest I've been of how hard those guys have played in a long time. You lost 13 on the road to Northwestern, and he stood up there after shitting all over these guys, and rightfully so. He had a lot of like long-standing guys in there when he took over, Trent and Io and foundational guys, people that knew Illinois basketball is underperforming, and then went there to be like, we're part of this.
It's a different job for him right now, right? Because how many returners do they have?
Not much.
Yeah,
two transfers from Baylor. Luke Goody was going to start.
Texas Tech
hurt
dude.
His foot.
That's
and the Texas Tech guy, so that's Terrence Shannon, Danger, Meyer. So you got three guys playing fucking 30 minutes a night that weren't there last year.
Yeah, listen, completely different thing, but you guys watch Last Chance U?
No, mm-hmm. I haven't seen the basketball one.
Listen,
no. Not the basketball one, no.
Last Chance U, football, basketball, it doesn't matter. It's one of the best series on fucking Netflix, okay? And the basketball one's tremendous as well. And so I'm going through that right now, and they just dropped season 2, I think, last month. I'm still watching. I'm only like 2 episodes in. But they came back. They took 2 years off because of COVID. And like seeing how like stressed out this guy is because he has no guys after that. And he has to like coach so hard because he doesn't have like a veteran that could like just like run the drills. Yeah. And like and he has to just sit there and coach all practice. It's a fucking big changeup, dude.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure that's, like, a big Underwood just, like, probably going through it in that aspect. So, it kind of makes sense that he's like, you know what? Hey, I just got to take a little wins right now. If they played well, like, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point. And I haven't really thought about that and it applies to, like, a lot of all college sports, the program mentality. You're talking about having guys in there. I remember when I was a freshman and just, like, the seniors that are like, don't do this, do this. You do this, you do that. That's low-level shit. That's fucking big-time baseball 15 years ago. Like, the high-level college programs, the really successful ones, the connectivity of, like, this is what it means. Like, Michigan State, for instance. Oh, fuck, you're a freshman at Michigan State. You get on that practice court, within a week you know what's up, and mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with what Tom Izzo is telling you. It's from just this sense of being around these guys. And
oh, yeah.
Using that as an example.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What I know we touched on it a little last week, but what's a bigger deal to you, this Hosmer deal or the fact that Wrigley's going back to Coke over Pepsi?
What do you think of the Coke deal?
I don't know. I feel like I'm not a big Coke at the ballpark guy. You know?
Did we make a trade? Was it like we'll give up Vienna for
Eisenberger
to
get the Coke back?
Hosmer's getting paid like $39 million from the Padres or something.
Yeah, what's can you explain that trajectory? What was his? So he signed that huge deal, and then did they DFA him or they traded him to Boston?
Yeah, that contract is guaranteed to have to pay him that money, regardless of where he's playing.
And when does it end?
Is it how?
I thought it was 2 years.
Is it not Boston picking that tab up? Because he was traded to Boston, so they would inherit the money.
Yeah, and they got rid of him to Boston. Part of that deal is so they would pay a bulk of his deal to Boston.
That's a guy who's getting completely shit on by all corners of the internet. It's Chaim Bloom right now. I don't know. Chaim Bloom. And fuck, man. They're going to be really bad this year. But Eric Hosmer is one of the all-time great fleecings in a contract in baseball, I think. He wasn't good before he signed that deal. He had one good year in like 2016.
He was good in a way where you could look at it and be like, maybe he's more valuable than what the numbers suggest. Like, he fit the Ben Zobrist thing of like, well, he does a lot of stuff. You don't know, he picks the ball well. He's a leader. He's tall.
He's a fucking slap-hitting corner infielder.
Yeah.
First baseman. I think he hit
25 home runs when you're OPS plus, not much more.
I looked it up when they traded for him. The COVID year, he had like 9 bombs in 30 games or something. And he was like on pace to have by far his best season. But aside from that, like,
that's a Soriano month right there.
Yeah, exactly. He was like on fire.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the.
But he got, what was it, 160 from the Padres? Something just outrageous. Like 8 for 160, something crazy. And he's had one good year over 10 or whatever he's been in the league for. But, I mean, for a team like the Cubs, it's perfectly fine, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Like, who cares?
I mean, it's zero cost to them. They're paying him $715,000 this year, I think. If he's as horrible as I anticipate he will be, cut bait with him.
Yeah, there's the only problem he could present is, like, does he steal formative playing time from Matt Mervis?
Right.
Does that even, like, create some distraction now? Like, well, we could start Mervis, but Hosmer's solid. It's like, get it over with. But it's cheap. He's a leader. You have good defense. They pitch to contact. They're not going to strike a lot. Like, they'll probably be bottom three teams in baseball in strikeouts. So having a defense behind you where it's like Hosmer, mm-hmm. Horner, Swanson, Bellinger, Suzuki, Happ, like those are all.
That's a good defensive
premium defensive players. If they have a decent third baseman, they won't. But like Patrick Wisdom, conversely, is the worst third baseman.
Yeah, he's not good at third base.
He's fine. He breaks. Like he doesn't make errors, but like he just doesn't make his make plays. He does make errors too. So, the Cubs stuff too is like I say I don't care. I just qualify. I was like, yeah, obviously I care, but the Astros and look at the top of the league and look at what the top has become more of the top this offseason. And so where the Cubs were far, like everybody's far away from the top. So Hosmer doesn't. Yeah. You liked it?
What? The Coke deal or the Coke? Hosmer.
Yeah. You got cheered out on us?
Dave switched pizza dealers more times than. It's insane.
I had to ban one recently.
I wonder what the deal is because the United Center has been that way too. They had Connie's, they had DiGiorno's, they had Giordano's.
DiGiorno?
They had DiGiorno.
No.
Yes, dude. They had like a two or 3 year stretch where they had DiGiorno and they had that like restaurant where
really?
It was like the DiGiorno pizza restaurant.
Really?
Was it just like they would open up a box, throw it in the little pizza, the pizzazz, and.
Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah. Like, it was like they bought the pizza sponsorship, the pizza deal for, and maybe that was through, like, the concessions company because they all had, you know, none of them actually are in charge of their own concessions, but.
Interesting.
But that was, yeah, I wonder, I don't know why that is, but pizza, they flipped those pizzas around pretty good.
I got something I got to say.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a pizza snob. Like, I'd rather spend $40 and get a pizza delivered than go to get, like, a $5 hot and ready. I enjoy a good frozen pizza here and there.
There's nothing wrong with bad pizza once in a while. I don't know why you like are ashamed to admit that.
Well, it's fucking hot when it comes out of that oven. Yeah. It's a nice thing.
Yeah,
it's a. I mean, I just that's, hottest piece you of pizza be, you're gonna get unless you want to sit down.
That
is somewhere.
True. You gotta be careful with that.
You know, if one of the if Papa John's was here, I would eat it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to eat it.
Sure, that's fine. But I'm just saying, like, there's nothing wrong with like.
But like frozen pizza, it's like $3 frozen. Disgusting fake ingredients, everything.
But it's not good disgusting.
It's not. No, it's like you're fucking.
The ingredients are disgusting when you like read the fine print, is what I'm saying. Dude, but it tastes like, great.
The way that pizzas are made is disgusting. Like the manufacturing facilities for what they've talking
sure,
about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but dude, we're talking like late night. You come home from like a cottage. You're like holed up in like a Wisconsin, like whatever. And like everyone's just like hammered. And it's like, fuck yeah, throw a bunch on. Yeah. And everyone's like, just drunk out of their minds. Like, dude, that's it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's yeah. it. You know? Burning the fuck out of your roof of your mouth. Like, yeah, yep. Everyone's getting pizza sauce, no plates. Plates optional.
Do you still do delivery?
For?
Pizza. Will you get pizza delivered?
Yeah, of course.
Anybody?
I had to ban a pizza place recently.
Damn.
I'm growing out of delivery. Where, like, if I'm going to order a pizza, I have to pick it up. Because it's like... The delivery, then it's sitting around. It's never as good. Pickup is so much better.
Isn't it kind of...
Ooh, New York pizza man looks like he's got something to say.
I just had like a question. That scenario of being in Wisconsin drunk with your buddies, you ever leave one in the oven?
Oh, yeah. I tried looking that up the other day. It's like a hockey puck.
Yeah. My one friend one time, I was staying up with him like in Westchester, like in the suburbs, and he put one on like a grill he had, and he left it on overnight. He tried to grill
a
pizza.
They don't get smoky, though, like you'd think. It's just a black hockey puck, and it's like eating itself and like shrinking and shriveling up because it's just
like curves up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sad scene.
Nah, pickup's a good move, Carl.
Yeah, pickup is... What the fuck?
I don't know.
My feet have not moved.
If you don't trust it, pickup's a good move.
How far will you go for your pickup, though?
I do a pizza tour a couple times a year.
Well, I'm asking Carl because he's converting to...
What?
He was talking to him.
Yeah.
He's the pickup guy.
He's moving into pickup. So, like, do you have a spot where it's, like, down the street? Because that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a couple places I very much like that are in and around Roscoe Village and within, like, the Lakeview and the Irving Park areas.
Okay.
The farthest I'll go, no traffic, say I have, like, I have to have, like, a softball game.
Okay.
Because the softball game's at UIC.
Yep.
And then I'll go down to Phil's and pick one up, or I'll go to Bob's Pizza in Pilsen, which is a Detroit guy, and it's the most underrated pizza in Chicago. Let me repeat myself. It's the most underrated
pizza
in
Chicago. Say it again. What was
the name again? Bob's Pizza.
In Pilsen, they might deliver to me.
Just Bob.
I think I've heard of that.
They're weak on delivery, I think, just because it's like one of those places, just go and try it.
I think I've heard of that.
Bob's Pizza. But when you call, they go, Bob's Pizza. good aioli and stuff. So, yeah, pickup. Love pickup. I'll go to Phil's. Okay. And then I'll bring it back. But
yeah, I've done that. Palermo's.
Yeah, I've gone down to Vito and Nix's. I'll go down there like once a year. And that's like 45-minute drive. Mm-hmm. It's a fucking hike to get there.
Speaking of hikes.
It really is.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big announcement. Speaking of hikes, I am probably should have done this better, but burying the lead here. Classic Redline Radio stuff. Bears get the number one pick. I am moving to Arizona for spring training. So, wife and I are driving down at the end of this month, and I talked to Dave about it with the Barstool Scottsdale bar being built. Baseball coverage, year-end meeting, starting nine. And so there's just like a lot of work I want to do this year on baseball. And so I pitched him, was like, hey, I think we're in a good spot with like Chicago stuff. I'd like to go down to spring training for a couple months, work on this stuff, and they're super cool. This is a bad announcement, but I think what it means indefinitely is that, like, I will not be on Redline. When we come back from – I think I'm coming back to Chicago the last week of March, and then there's, like, seven trips between then and I think Mother's Day. So there's just, like, a ton of shit, and it's part of a larger announcement that'll go with starting nine and, like, Barstool baseball coverage. And abrupt, but I will be – very, 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 like, into all of the shit and scene that's going on in Scottsdale, World Baseball Classic, spring training, waste management, bunch of buddies down there. It's crazy when you think about how many people work at Barstool and contribute content to baseball. So I put a report together. There's over 30 employees that regularly create baseball content.
30?
Yeah.
That is a lot.
It's a lot of baseball, guys.
10 different brands, 2 daily gambling shows, a dozen props, another dozen props trying to get approved, 20 pieces of, like, recorded content a week of, like, this is a baseball thing that goes out. So I pitched them, was like, hey, I know we, you know, with the Penn acquisition, I would very much like to be involved in consolidating this coverage. I've got a bunch of ideas. And, like, Barstool's Barstool. Like, you got that idea? Run with it. So I pitched it.
Snowbird,
living my dream out. Fuck
yeah! Well, we start our first episode of Redline Radio was Dave in Scottsdale.
That is true. No, I was at Furco's Buckeye House, which if you are familiar with the greater Phoenix metro area, they call Buckeye, Arizona, East LA because it's so far west. It's in the middle of the fucking desert. And we were interviewing not Ryan Terry. Who was it?
Come on.
Why am I blanking on the name?
Adam Greenberg.
Adam Greenberg, who saw one pitch in his major league career, got hit in the head, never played again.
Mm-hmm.
And the connection was so fucking bad. I've said this before.
It's a disaster.
It would happen here and there when I'd be running on the treadmills. But I used to listen to Redline on Apple iTunes or whatever. And now I just do Spotify. And here and there, it would go automatically to that episode. And it's funny going back and seeing how far the show's come.
Funny.
And changed. And also cringeworthy.
Yeah, it's...
It's bad.
Beyond uncomfortable. But...
Yes.
It's... Like, I don't want to get like too fucking sentimental. We just sit around and talk about sports. But thinking back of where I was at in life when we recorded that first show and why I wanted to do it and what we were trying to accomplish and like where Dan had went to New York to blow up and do his thing. And then we're like, well, we could do this and that. We tried. We came up with some ideas. Like it wasn't just like, oh, let's do a podcast. We just started a podcast. Like so much time went into like even trying to do the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And probably half a dozen times getting together to record an episode and never doing it because mm-hmm. we couldn't figure it out. Couldn't fucking plug in a mic. Didn't even know who to ask. Like it was just like, we'll just sit there. And then Dave and I would like Google like how to plug in a microphone.
Sitting
a computer.
For fucking hours on YouTube.
Yeah. Trying just to get sit that at my, and sit like, in my office.
Box fixed.
Right. And being like, had the mic turned off the whole episode one time.
Yep.
At the Sox Grill.
Nobody noticed it.
Yeah. He did the
Why
whole episode.
Why would we ever give him a mic with a switch?
Yeah.
Exactly.
There was also the time that Dave walked in when you're at your office and Dave dragged like
dog
stepped
shit.
A dog
shit. Oh yeah, just walking dog shit. Yeah. And this is like just this is an office where most of the professionals wear suits.
Yes.
Yeah. Most Dave people are walking around serious
dragging like, dog shit at night.
We're sitting around this little closet that Carl's old company would let us use to record. Nice of them. Right. And I just like, man, what the fuck smells in here?
It smells like shit. Now we look, not mine, Chief, not mine. White Sox Dave looks down.
Sure
just,
enough.
Just doesn't say anything.
And who fucking has a dog shit in the loop?
I know.
How does somebody step in dog shit in the loop?
It's animals, man. I'm not talking about the dogs. I'm talking about people humans. That walk around.
Oh,
and,
you thought that was human shit?
No, I'm saying people don't pick up their dog shit. Get Whitney on their ass.
And White Sox Dave was literally walking down Monroe Street barefoot in socks because, like, his fucking, he had dog shit on. He was holding him out. It was very funny. Well, I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see what you build, dude. That's going to be fucking cool. I mean, spring training. You're going to have to let us know if the whole state of Arizona is actually
drivable.
It is. I've done it.
That's actually a very good video. That's like that's a good investigative report.
You're going to have to let us know.
I have like a ton of stuff like planned in this whole thing I've been working on for like weeks and have been in communication with our different producers and leadership and Erica. So there is a lot of like structure and program coming. I've spent the last whatever 9 months kind of in the middle of like, well, what should we do for Major League Baseball? It's like, I don't fucking know. Just host a show with Jay. Like, that doesn't put me in a position where I'm some like expert on how to cover all this stuff. It's just now that we go through the year-end meetings, it's like, all right, well, what do you want to do with starting nine? And it's like, to be honest, I'd rather think bigger about the sport and try and get a lot of people involved in like a bigger thing. And that should lift everybody up. Now, starting nine will come with it. And, you know, we got to believe in Short Porch and Redline and like Frank the Tank and fucking, I just go through the list like, it's crazy how many people are getting up and caring about a baseball team that collect a paycheck for Barstool where it's not a primary revenue driver or it's not like a primary source of.
Yeah.
So any type of like infrastructure framework that can support it where it's like, if you want to do stuff for college baseball, here's structure, we'll distribute it. Here's an opportunity for sponsors to get involved. Here's a framework for merchandise. Here's a whole like fucking playbook on how we go about things. So it's not as like, and I fucking hate I hate this. I hate sitting here talking like this because I can feel nervous because I'm taking on this project and I'm physically driving to the other side of the country to bite into this. But it's like at the end of the day, I don't know how else to do it. If I sit around and do a Zoom show for another year, like nobody gives a fuck.
That's exciting, man. Like, so. if this is what your gut's telling you to do, like that's you know, that's what you should probably be doing, right? Like, I mean,
and it's like it's very, the word is special that I can marry the in all my adult, like young adult life to now is like all the stuff that changes. And me personally and our generation and just like all the stuff that we've had to like live through from the time that we get out of college and people get their jobs taken away and all the shit. It's like, I'm very fucking lucky. It's very special that two things I love, Barstool Sports and baseball. And I get to like,
yeah,
really put those two together and try and create something special. And if it goes right, like Dave, you're in spring, like people are in spring. Like if I can do this the way I think I can do it, it's not like, oh, Carl's at the All-Star game. Carl's at the fucking field. Like I want to have a fucking crew. I want to have a team. I want to have a bus. I want to have a presence. I want to cover college baseball. I want to fucking do minor league shit and all the stuff that goes with it. And so the last thing people listening to this that have listened to me for years are like, man, he's just, I am nervous because the last thing's to the audience. Thank you guys. Thank you. Because this, I'm not like, I'll come back. We'll talk Cubs. Well, there's plenty of stuff, but where I'm taking my focus and passion, is away from like Chicago sports and stuff. I'm still a fan. I'm still going to be doing stuff. I'm around. Fuck. I'm not like dying or anything. It's just like my heart and the stuff that I'm creating is going to be baseball related. And there's people that have been listening to this, following this, supporting me, DMing me, emailing me. That have just been like with it, that made it easy to do it. If you're listening and not watching, I'm not crying. I'm just catching my words up.
Hit that jewel if you need to.
Yeah, there's just people that have like supported it when it's really hard or stuff where you're like, why do we do this? Long before we had a sponsor, long before anybody gave a fuck. Like, why are we, you know, your buddies are ripping on you and shit. So I'm thank you guys for putting me in this position. And I'm fucking nervous, but I'm super excited because I know the second I get down there and I'm in my mode, we'll see what I'm made of.
Turn it into the four-play baseball.
I'll be rooting for you, man. I'm excited to see it. I really am. I think you're gonna crush it. I think it's gonna be good. And I'm, you know, Arizona sounds fucking nice in January and February.
Yeah. I'll just be honest, like, I'm fucking uncomfortable.
Well timed.
If it were up to me, just sit here, like, fuck around. I wish the Bears were in first place and you could eat an Italian beef and fuck around. And, like, no, just like,
for sure.
It's the right move with where Barstool's at and, like, what the company can benefit from and where I'm at. And, like, the last thing, too, I mean, who, like, Dan's coming back. The Bears are going to be awesome. Like, we're going to enter a new golden age. So I'm kind of figuring out, like, where do I fit in the long run and how can I do the most damage? So that's what I came up with. Again, thank you to the audience and thank you to everybody that supported my, like, involvement in getting this going. And you guys are going to, fucking kill it. The show's great. I love the show. The fucking Bears are, go figure. Go fucking figure.
Ah, don't count your chickens.
Here's a Matt Nagy.
Man. On that exact note, Cubs held up. Well, we started after the Cubs won it. Baseball teams didn't really hold up there under the bargain for when we...
Oh, the Red Line World Series?
Yeah, when we started the show, we're like, there's pretty good chance they're going to both be like awesome.
And one year they made the playoffs at the same time, and it was COVID.
Yeah, it was COVID, and they both
flamed out first round.
18 teams that made it.
Yeah.
Half the league.
They were both in first place in 2021.
Yeah.
June 18th was the last day. 2021.
Fucking cocksuckers.
Yeah, and then you said the four-play thing, and just I do have an idea for a home run derby.
Nice.
Like a national.
That'll be sick.
A national home run derby. So there's some video programming. The last thing is, like, there's other people, there's project, sub-programming. I'm working on a pop culture vertical with like a baseball pop culture thing with Clemmer that would be like a standalone every stuff like that and other different people. And there'll be more news on that. And thank you for letting me be long-winded about this.
Like, obviously, this is not a fucking thing I want to get up and talk about. It's uncomfortable because the bond that I have with the show and the audience and the people in Chicago and all the stuff and, like, that have put me in the spot. And now I feel like, all right, well, thanks for everything, guys. See you later. But, like, in my heart, I know that down the road I'm going to come back and be like, no, that was the right move because it's all kind of lined up. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I'll find out.
No, hey, dude, thank you. You started the show with Dave, so, you know, so you deserve as much time as you want to get whatever out there. And I'm sure, obviously, a lot of people will be excited and a lot of people will follow you. And I think you're going to do a great job, so.
Yeah, no, and last thing, like, obviously, thank you guys. We've been doing this for fucking hundreds of shows, all the stuff we've been through.
7 years?
There's only...
Almost 10, bro.
Yeah.
Well, the show's...
Show's January, five.
It's yeah. The eighth season covering baseball.
Yeah.
With a podcast. We just... Yeah. Fuck.
Well, but collectively, we've all... Collectively, been, we've all worked together years, indirectly yeah. for almost 10.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Yeah. I was July 2012, yeah.
And then with the podcast was 2018, so that's like... Well, full, all yeah. of us was 5 years. Five but years. You guys...
Yeah.
An extra
right,
2 years.
Right. Extra year and a half or so.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously, like, you know, so obviously myself, Chief and Dave will be holding it down. We'll have more announcements next week about the future of the show and whatnot. Things will be changing, but like I said, we'll get to that in due time. But yeah.
It's going to be a fun time.
And in the meantime, like, you know, best of luck, Carl. Like,
yeah, no, you know. I'm holding Nemeritus status. This is like, you just retire, you just throw Nemeritus on the name. Like, yeah. You just show up, I get coffee privileges. No. What request? This is an official request. You have to, whatever you do, purposely find a reason to occasionally bring up high school when relevant. That's an important tenet of the show because people roll their eyes and stuff, but like...
I was just about
That's an important tenet of the show is that like when those games come up, when Wheaton-Warrenville South is playing fucking St. Charles, when Carmel and Rice are getting together, when St. Pat's and Notre Dame are squaring off, because to me that's a fucking... One of my favorite things about the show is giving love to like the
stuff that we love.
Most yeah. local specific part of our sports.
I was culture. Just about to bring up how my freshman year at North Central College, we slaughtered Chicago State, and Chicago State might be adding a football program, which to me is the D1. Worst idea anybody's ever had. That I looked up their records, and this is like it's a joke, but it's not a joke. Out of curiosity, I went to look up what their varsity records this year were in their sports. They were winless in golf. They finished last in their conference in track and cross country. They were like 3-33 in baseball. Mm-hmm. Every single sport is the worst of the worst. Jesus, and they're adding a football program.
Fucking guys buried in Chicago State.
Is it a publicly funded institution? Probably some big corruption going on there. So that's our Chicago State talk.
It's good transition. That's high school talk right there. They're a high school team.
What else? That's it. Yeah, I just want to again. I'm super. I'm very, very, very excited. I'm very lucky. My wife is like rocking and rolling, ready to get down there and do this stuff. It's gonna be fucking awesome. I'm eager to build this out and show you guys what's in my mind because otherwise it just exists to me. So. Oh, I say again, thank you, everybody. Thank you very much. It's been a life-changing experience up to this point, and now it's my obligation to take this and go work on something and do a good job and make people proud and create value. That's it. Until then, all gas.
No breaks.
DJ, play that shit.